grateful that you have come for the Sangha Mela. As some of you know, the Sangha Mela has been started maybe 5 or 6 years ago, when devotees expressed a desire to come together and prepare for a new year in their spiritual life. Now, obviously, there are different ways to count a new year or the beginning of a new year. Some like to count from Gaur Punim, others from Janmashtami. But since we are so much apart, let me say, of the, not maybe apart, but since we are so much surrounded by the culture in which we preach and in which we want to bring Krishna consciousness to the attention of the people, some feel it's nice to have a preparation for the new year, you know, towards the end of the Western calendar year. So, keeping this in mind, we have always done a Sangha Mela, starting from today and then going through what we call here Sylvester into the new year. And also this year, we will have such a Mela. We will have a very nice Yagya, which will empower us. And we will meet the Super Soul. That is, we will have a guided meditation where we meet the Supreme Lord, who is the guide of all of us, in the evening or the night of the 31st. It's something very special, and I'm very glad that you can be here to observe this. The way we have organized this Sangha Mela is to give all of you a little bit time to associate with each other, time to walk through the snow. Snow makes for a very meditative, or let me say contemplative, atmosphere. Time where you can read, time also where you can ask deep questions. And since today we start our Sangha Mela, I would like to give something like a theme for this whole event. A theme which has very much surfaced in our own spiritual life and meditation. As some of you know, we have been spending the month of Kartik at the sacred bank of Mother Ganga in a place called Kanai Natashala. This place is known in our Gaudiya Sampradaya is the place where the seed of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood was produced. It's really the starting and the end of the Sankirtan movement, which was conceived there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his return from Gaya, where he received his initiation, was no longer the same. Chaitanya Bhagavat says that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached Ishwarapuri, his Diksha Guru, he said, please, my dear spiritual master, help me to cross the ocean of birth and death by giving me Krishna. And Ishwarapuri, had smiled and had said, "My dear Nimai Pandit, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that me, that I should give you Krishna. You please give me love of Krishna." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who played the role of his devotee, who therefore very much followed the custom to take a spiritual master, was not leaving his determination. A few days later, after this initial talk had taken place, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a little house in Gaya, a pilgrim's place where he stayed. And he was cooking. All Brahmins cook. They don't accept food which is cooked for them. They cook and they offer and then they eat. So he was cooking for himself. The whole day he had visited the 12 places in Gaya where he offered an offering for his deceased father. We would say Totenmesse in German. In English, it's the, or in our language, in the Sanskrit language, the language in which we communicate such things, is the Shraddha ceremony. It's a very complicated ritual. And he had come back in the evening, and all of a sudden, as he was cooking, he heard a voice, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." He heard this. And then he rushed to the door and he saw Ishvara Puri, intoxicated with love of God. "Krishna, Haraye, Krishna, Yadavaya." She was just helplessly chanting in a very moved way the name of the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately invited him in, and Ishvara Puri looked at him and smiled. He smelled. He said, "It seems I have come at the right time. The meal is ready." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought the food he had cooked and began serving it to Ishvara Puri. But Ishvara Puri said, "No, no, you make two plates, one for yourself, one for your servant, and one for me." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who took the role of the perfect disciple, gave him everything, said, "No, it's all for you. But what will you eat?" "Oh, don't worry, I will eat something." So when the Lord served Ishvara Puri, he had left the kitchen. Mother Lakshmi entered the kitchen and she began to cook another meal for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was there taking care that her Lord would be getting something to eat. And again, after Ishvara Puri had finished his meal and was very, very pleased, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please give me the mantra. Please give me Krishna." And he begged Ishvara Puri so that this time Ishvara Puri could not ignore the request. He set a date where the initiation of the Lord of the universe, who is the guru of everyone, was going to take place, and gave him the Gopal mantra. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that evening sat down to chant the Gopal mantra, he saw the Lord of the mantra, and he became overwhelmed with ecstasy. He called, "Oh my Krishna, my Prananath," then the next day he announced to his disciples, in a very restless mood. I want to go to meet Krishna. I do not wish to go home. I want to go to Vrindavan. His disciples tried to pacify him, and after they thought he was pacified, the night came. And as the night progressed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting in his room, wanting to go to Krishna. So much his desire to meet the Lord of his heart was there, that in the midst of the night, he went out of the house, and he ran towards Vrindavan. It is said that when you get the Gopal Gayatri Mantra and you chant it properly, it makes you run after Krishna. This is how it is expressed. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan, deep into the night, he was there in the jungle, he heard some voices of the devatas. It's not yet time to go to Vrindavan, our Lord. You are first to start the Sankirtan movement and give Krishna prema to all the souls in the world. Later you will go to Vrindavan. We are your servants. We are saying this in your service. But you are the independent Lord. Decide what you are going to do. So you can see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to go to Vrindavan, but the devatas, who were also puppets in his divine leela, who played a role, had told him later. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu observed this tip. He took this tip. He went back to Gaya. And he went with his disciples to Navadvip. But you know, when the Lord wishes something, it is already fulfilled. So as he was going back from Gaya to Kanainatashala, to Navadvip, he passed Kanainatashala. He crossed over the Ganga. He climbed up the rocky sides, the rocks, and he disappeared in the jungle where he was all alone. He ran into the jungle because he had heard the call of the Lord on his flute. And there in Kanainatashala, he actually saw the Lord for a brief moment, peering from underneath a tree, and smiling at him so beautifully. The Lord had curly hairs. He had dolphin-shaped earrings which were swinging back and forth and which gave a very nice effulgence on the cheeks. He was smiling. He had a monsoon-colored hue and a dark, deep, yellowish dhoti. And he played on his flute. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rushed after him in order to embrace the Lord to his heart. But as he came close, Krishna seemed to disappear. Then again, Mahaprabhu heard the flute sound of the Lord behind his back. He turned around. There was again the same boy. He ran back to catch him, but on the way he lost his consciousness and fainted. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Gaya, to Navadvip, he remembered this scene. He desired to see the devotees of Navadvip in Shuklambara's house. And he said to them, I want to explain the pain of my heart. I met Krishna, but then I lost him again. And now I only have one question left. Where is my Krishna? And as he was telling about his experience, which started with the initiation into the Gopal mantra, and which culminated in this momentary darshan in Kananatashala, as he spoke about this experience, he started to cry uncontrollably for 6 hours without stop. And it seemed that there were two Gangas flowing now. One was the Ganga in the riverbed, and the other was the Ganga, river of water, which was created by the tears of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all the devotees who saw this were moved by this transcendental ecstasy. Have you ever seen someone in genuine ecstasy of love of Godhead? I mean, not a showman, but a real person. If you see a real person in love of Godhead, then something will come into your heart, and you will be moved. I remember when Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, sometimes going into these ecstasies. He would speak on the Vyasasan, and then he would, something was coming, we already knew. So the ecstasy was coming, and the ecstasy was overwhelming him. And usually he would start to cry, his voice would break, and then he would go into a trance-like state where he would lose his external consciousness. He would just not be there. Let me explain it differently. He would sit there, but he was not aware of all of us who were sitting before him and who were just moved very much. Many devotees used to start to cry, becoming in influenced by these emotions. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always in this divine divyanmada, it's called. It's a divine madness of ecstasy. And he would be very much moved by this motto, "Where is Krishna?" The Sankirtan movement, the Hare Krishna movement, is really a movement who has this motto. If in your heart you have found this motto, "Where is Krishna?", then you are a genuine member of the Hare Krishna movement. When in your heart this motto is not yet there, then you are an aspiring member of the Hare Krishna movement, who will certainly after some time get this feeling. As I was in Kananatashala, and also now, my life is now in three parts. One is before Kananatashala, the second part is in Kananatashala, and the third part is after Kananatashala. So I'm in the third part of my life at the moment. This motto, or this question, "Where is Krishna?", has become very relevant or very clear. See, ultimately, we conditioned souls search for Krishna. If you want to understand Vedic psychology, you will understand that according to Vedic psychology, we only have two desires. They are not overtly, offensichtlich, not overtly desires for Krishna, but they are indirectly desires for Krishna. It's, we want to love, said Yajnavalkya, all conditioned souls want to love, show their love, manifest their love, you know, bring it out from the cavern or the gufa, the cage of the heart. And we also want to feel the love of someone in our lives. This is the two driving factors of the human psychology. And I believe we can all understand this by looking into our hearts. We want to show our love, and we also want to experience and receive love. These are two driving forces of each psychology. In this world, people think that, well, we want to experience the love of a woman or a man or our family members or our relatives. And people in this world think we want to give our love to those who are near and close to us. But when it comes down in this world, we always want to love ourselves the most. No, normal person really serves his body and the mind the most. Whenever there's some problem in the body, he is prepared to do everything to solve the problem. And when there is some problem in the mind, when we are misunderstood or we feel left, then we have become very, very active to take care of our, to have a happy feeling again, to become, to solve the problems and so on. But Srila Prabhupada asks us a question: why are we so much interested in the body and the mind? And he says, why is someone so interested in a house? The body and the mind is only the house for the soul. It's because inside there is a person. So we are really interested to serve our body and mind because inside of it is the soul. And why are we so interested in the soul? The reason is because inside the soul is the Lord, Paramatma. He's there. Or, to say it differently, the soul is a part of God. That's why we are when we are serving the body and the mind, we really are interested in the body and the mind only because the soul is there. Just see, when you take care of someone and love someone, if the soul has left the body, then the whole body becomes, you know, you want to leave. Have you ever seen a dead person right after the soul has left? It looks terrible. It looks spooky to stay with a dead body for even an hour alone in a dark night, in a dark room. So we really are interested in the body because of the presence of the soul. And we are interested in the soul because it is part of Krishna. So behind our desperate endeavor to love and be loved is nothing else than a desperate endeavor to love Krishna and to be loved by Krishna. We really are searching for Krishna when we search for our own physical and mental satisfaction. And an intelligent person who has both, that is, a rational, spiritually pervaded intelligence, and also experience in this world. An intelligent person who is equipped with rationality and experience will understand, I can only be satisfied if I am going to Krishna, if I finally have Krishna's presence in my life. Srila Prabhupada offered an example which I found is very, very nice. He offered the example of a little child who cries as long as the mother is not present. This child can be brought to many people, the auntie, the brother of the mother of the mother, and so on. But ultimately, the crying will only stop when it comes to the lap of the mother and the father. So your crying or your looking for love and your desire to manifest and give your love can only be stopped when you finally find Lord Krishna in your life. I personally want to suggest to you that during this stay in Goloka Dham, you make this your project. Where is Krishna? You should go on an expedition while you are here in the snow of central Germany. It's very nice that we have some snow. Your expedition is you should try to find Krishna. Krishna is present in different places. One is Krishna is present in the hearts of the devotees. So please search for good devotees. Discuss with them their secrets in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is certainly present in the holy name and in the deities. Please use your time to chant deeply and to look at the deities. Today, Radha Madan Mohan are dressed like the Weihnachtsmann. Did you notice this? The Christmas man, or how is he called? Weihnachtsmann? Santa Claus. Santa Claus? This is correct? Have you noticed? Radha Madan Mohan, they have some presents for you. Please go and collect your presents from Radha Madan Mohan. Very important move. This we need Krishna is theme. The theme is brought out in the Bhagavatam and in the Goswami scriptures at several places. In the Bhagavatam, there is there are two stories which I would like to bring to your attention because they each teach a very important lesson for our expedition. The first Leela is a very, very telling Leela. It's about 20,000 kings who had been captured by Yarasandra and imprisoned in a mountain prison. It was impossible to escape this prison. And these kings were very poorly fed. So they lived in the prison and it was very dirty. When 20 men are in one room, it begins to smell after some time. But when 20,000 people are in one room and there's not proper facilities, oh, it's really very disturbing. So these kings were there and they were knowing about Lord Krishna. Their only solution, you know, for this existential dilemma of being imprisoned and being, they knew they were kept there by Yarasandra to be used as human sacrifices to be offered on the altar before Lord Shiva, a very ghastly form of Lord Shiva. When you are in Benares, you can see this Kal Bhairava form. He's worshipped in one temple. When you enter this temple, we did it one time. Ah, you really want to run away. It's just so terrible. And when you look at the form, it is the goats are offered in this, is full of blood, this temple. It's a really heavy vibration. And in previous time, human beings were offered. I don't know if in that temple. I hope not, because I went into this temple and I obviously don't want to be in such a temple where humans were offered. And it's a real intense thing, you know. So the kings were just waiting to be slaughtered, and they knew our only solution now is Lord Krishna. The acharyas have said that this is an analogy which describes our own situation. We are in the fortress of the material world, and we are also waiting for our death. Just like the kings, we are imprisoned also. In fact, when I met Srila Prabhupada for the first time in this life, he gave this analogy that the material world is a prison and we are waiting to die. Oh, Krishna. So the kings were praying to Lord Krishna, and somehow they arranged that a message was smuggled out of the prison and came into the hands of a messenger. And this messenger went to Lord Krishna and read the letter of the kings to Lord Krishna, which said in essence, "My dear Lord, please save us." So it is described how the Lord appeared in this impenetrable prison. He came in a corner of the prison, and a beautiful bluish light began to come from his body and overwhelm the eyes of the kings. They saw the most beautiful form of the Lord, which stops all tears which a person has in the material world and transforms the heart of the person in ecstatic bliss. Then they smelled the beautiful fragrance of the Lord, which, you know, imagine in this prison to smell this fragrance. And their noses couldn't get enough. And they felt so overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord that their senses became so overwhelmed. It's described in Gaga Sanghita, when someone sees Krishna, he will become overwhelmed, because you don't really know where you should look. I mean, you should look every part of the Lord's body. It's just so overwhelmingly beautiful that I don't know if you can, your eyes want to wander to all the other forms, but they can't detach themselves, for instance, from the lotus feet. And because the lotus feet in themselves are so beautiful, but then there are the knees, and then there is the deep navel of the Lord. And beyond everything, the wonderful smile is there, and you don't know where to look. It's just so overwhelming, so that your darshan is always ending in your fainting. One faints. So wonderful. So wonderful. So they saw the Lord like this, and all their transcendental senses became enlivened, and they smelled, saw, tasted the Lord, and then the Lord saved them. So this is one description where people are described who are in our own situation, who are just like us, desiring to have the Lord. It is said, if you wish to see the Lord, you have to first of all understand the material world is not a pleasant place. So therefore this analogy is given. Someone who, it's in the language of the Gita, Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam, who's interested in enjoyment of this world, who is interested in the so-called beauties of this world and has not understood that these are just things which divert his attention from the real beauty, such people will find it very hard to make progress in bhakti. It will be very, very difficult for them to advance. Therefore, in bhakti, we always hear about the beauty of the Lord. We hear about the activities of the Lord, the names of the Lord. We eat the food of the Lord. We drink the bathing water of the Lord to convince us and also our senses that the Lord is better than the world. In Vrindavan, I visited one Vaishnava who many of you know. Many of you know his books, Mr. Adi Keshava is his name, but he is in ISKCON circles. His book, The Philosophy and Teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is published under his passport name, OBL Kapoor. And I visited him just before he left his body. I personally believe that Lord Krishna comes to his devotees, to all of his devotees, and helps them during this very important time. And I wanted to get some nectar from this devotee, because I knew he would be very close to Krishna. And he opened up the discussion in a very typical way about the mercy of Srimati Radharani. That's when you're in Vrindavan. He said, I so much want Radharani's mercy. And you know, yesterday, then he leaned back and took a bottle of Radhakund water. Radharani came to me. Jai Jai Sirate. Then he started to cry. How nice of him. You know, he felt I wanted so much to go to Radhakund, the place of Srimati Radharani, but I could not because I'm in the evening of my life and I cannot move very, very nicely. But Radharani came to me. And then he looked to me and it was, you know, he had big, wie sagt man, eyebrows, bushy eyebrows. And, his, you know, it was clear he would leave soon. His eyes were very deep. Back, you know, he was thin. And then he said to me, you must know one thing. You cannot hold the world with one hand and try to capture Krishna with another hand. The world will just keep you too much so that you can't come close enough to Krishna. Let go of the world, he said. And as he said it, you know, a person who had one foot already on the other side of life, you know, wherever this Vaishnava is destined to go, I do not wish to speculate. But, you know, if he leaves his body in Vrindavan, thinking of Srimati Radharani's mercy, a very high destination is waiting for him. You know, and as he said this, it became so clear. Why do we hold to the world so much? The reason is we have no faith that Krishna can take care of all my needs, that Krishna can supply everything. So in this Golok Dham Sangha Mela, I really want to request you to think a little bit about coming closer to Krishna. I will end my discussion this evening with one other example, which comes from Krishna's dearest devotees. You know who are the dearest devotees of Krishna? The Switzerland devotees? Also. Anyone? The Gopikas, yes. The Gopis of Vrindavan. Because they give their body and mind and words entirely for the service of Krishna. After Krishna had killed the terrible Kaliya demon, he said to the Brijbasis, let us sleep in Vrindavan at the bank of the Yamuna. This was a very strenuous day, you know, and all the Brijbasis who had feared that Krishna would be overwhelmed by Kaliya said yes. They had cried, you know, they had tried to enter the river to save Krishna. So Krishna said, this was a strenuous day. The Brijbasis went, yes. Let us not go to the back to the village of Vrindavan. We just, our Vrindavan takes, is, you know, we just sleep. And they all slept in the outside, of the, you know, near the banks of the Yamuna. All the Brijbasis slept. Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd boys, prince of Krishna, Shridam, Subal. Maybe these two did not sleep, but for sure the rest. Only one group of Brijbasis was not sleeping. It were the gopis. They were talking all night about Krishna, how he had danced on the hoods of the Kaliya demon, how the jewels on the head of the Kaliya had been illuminated by the light of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. And they talked with great love in their hearts about the beautiful Leela of Lord Krishna. And they were clearly in love with Krishna. From their talk, it was very obvious. The Chandavali's friends said, and did you notice one thing? Krishna looked more to Srimati Radharani than to you, we think. They talked really with deep love and affection, and so on. And they made a firm decision in their heart. We want to all marry Krishna. Each girl had this desire in the heart. But they didn't talk about it to anyone else because it was private. So each one of the beautiful gopis had this desire. I wish to marry Krishna in the heart. But their parents made other marriage arrangements. And they told the girls each day, you will have to marry, you will have to leave the house. They told it in small little installments, you know, not everything at once. They said, hey, you know, Lali, the little coward girl said, yes, one day you will have to meet your husband. Oh, yeah. And the little coward girls would think, Krishna, Krishna. You know, like everyone, we are married also. And then the mother would say, and I had to leave my parents' house, but it was not very bad, because when I went to the house of the husband, I was immediately finding how he took care of me, how the relatives of the husband took care of me. So they prepared the girls in small installments, so that they would not become overwhelmed with the shock of one day having to leave the house and going to the house of the husband, which the parents had found by astrology and by discussing with the parents of so on. So this is everywhere in Braj. This was going on. The girls were slowly prepared to leave the house and meet their husbands, which were not Krishna. So these were like small portions of poison which accumulated And the gopis didn't notice. Because if you get a small dose of poison every day, you don't taste it as poison. You can make the experiment. There are japanische Heilkrauttropfen, they are Japanese mint drops. And they are so strong, if you even open the bottle, you almost... So, but if you take only one drop in a big glass of water, then there's very powerful medicine. Then you can, after some time, take 2 drops, 3 drops, 4 drops, and feel no harm. Because you are accustomed, and the installments or doses can be increased. So the parents of the gopis would talk more and more about this terrible day where the gopis would have to marry someone else than Krishna. But finally the day came. The gopis heard, tomorrow you will have to leave the house and be married to your husband. The gopis. They couldn't believe. And as the cruel fact was entering their heart that they would be married to someone else than Krishna, they asked, how is it possible? My body, my mind, my words, I have given them already to Krishna. I cannot love anyone else than Krishna, who by his smile and by his beautiful activities has captured my heart. So on that day where the marriage was going to take place, all the gopis left in the morning their houses, and they all went to the bank of the river Yamuna. They cried. They were all covering themselves, as the girls in Vrindavan do. And they all moved. And there was one specially beautiful gopi, Srimati Radharani, who was going alone to the Yamuna to drown herself in the waters of the Yamuna, because they did not wish to be given to someone else. And as all the gopis, you know, at the morning sun rose on the Yamuna, there was a gathering of millions of the most beautiful goddesses, the beautiful gopis, who all approached the river Yamuna. They looked. I thought I would do suicide alone. You know, suicide is generally done alone. And they looked, and you know, when women are together, they very easily communicate. Men have, it takes longer before they start to communicate, but the gopis, they looked at each other and said, may I know, why have you come here? And then all this which was in their heart, all this bhakti, ekanti bhakti, began to spill, and it came out of their heart by first coming out of their eyes. They started to cry, tears of ecstasy, and then they started to say, I want to marry Krishna, and now I have to be married to someone else. I have the same situation, said another gopi, and I have also fixed my mind on Krishna, said another, but we are going to get married. Okay, said Radhika, let us all enter into the river Yamuna. Let Yamuna embrace us. She is also black in color. And by going underneath the waves of the Yamuna, we will not see anything else than the Siam color of our Lord Krishna. And in this way, leave our bodies very nicely. So all the gopis said, this must be done. This is the correct idea. And they all went You imagine these billions of beautiful personalities, and they entered the river Yamuna. At the moment they entered the river Yamuna, in deep separation of Krishna, Yamuna Devi came out of the river. And from the forest, two personalities came running, Purnamasi and Brinda Devi, who make the arrangements as the Leela Shakti for the divine pastimes of the Lord. And all the three personalities, Yamuna Devi from the front, and Purnamasi, and Brinda Devi from the back, they all said, "Stop! Stop! Stop!" Gopis were crying, and they were not to be stopped by anyone. But Yamuna expanded in many forms and embraced each one of the gopis and brought them back. And then Yamuna said, "Let us listen to the wise pony, Purnamasi. What is to be done in this situation? Don't commit suicide, beautiful gopikas." And Purnamasi said, "Don't commit suicide." Vrinda Devi said, "Don't commit suicide. No need. No need. Have you not heard how Gagacharya has said at the birth celebration of Lord Krishna that anyone who is his devotee will find all his desires are fulfilled by Lord Krishna? Have you not heard this? Or have you forgotten? You keep being devoted to Krishna and you will see how Lord Krishna will simultaneously fulfill all of your desires and accept only you as his beloved. Don't worry and have faith in my words." And then Purnamasi said, "Go back to your houses and know that you will for sure be united with Krishna." And we know from the Krishna book from the Bhagavatam that yes, this came true. All the gopis got Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna expanded himself in as many forms as there were gopis to take care. Why am I telling this to you? I'm telling you this because I want to also pacify your heart. Don't worry. Don't become dull-headed or desperate. You know, whatever is your choice. Some become desperate. I'm not advancing. Others become dull-headed. I do something else than advancement in Krishna consciousness. Don't become dull-headed or desperate. Please know that Lord Krishna is a there for each one of us, and he is ready to take us into his fold, or into his closeness. He has promised this in the scriptures, and he will stand up to his promise that through bhakti the devotees can enter his kingdom of God and be together with him. Bhaktyamang abhijanati javanyashasmi tatvata. A little while ago, and here I want to end, I had a talk with Pankajangri Prabhu, one of the two twins who are pujaris in Mayapur. Who knows Pankajangri Prabhu? Please raise your hand. You know many of Pankajangri. I asked Pankajangri Prabhu something which is a doubt in my heart, or a question in my heart. See, I had been very moved by Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's disappearance, like many of you have been moved. Especially I had been moved because Maharaj so kindly appeared 3 days before he left his body to me in the room, in the guest house, and he had given his last message to me, something which is very useful for my own spiritual life. And I had heard about his disappearance, and I was very moved. So, but this question which I always have began to surface in my heart. The question is it possible to go in one lifetime back to Godhead? When we went to Mayapur this year, just a few full moons back, two full moons back, we went to Mayapur. Then I went to Pankajangi and said, I have this question. Do you think that you will go back to Godhead? Please tell me honestly. And he looked at me. And he said, I have no doubt, Maharaj. It was so short and so brief. I have no doubt. You know, I don't, you know how he speaks. So, like a British gentleman, you know. And I was, for a moment, really, I was speechless because I have never heard a devotee say, I have no doubt that I'm going back to Godhead. Here I'm coming, no problem. I just felt, what is he saying? I mean, I'm no longer surprised when Pankajangri speaks. It's always very profound in Janadivas also. And I'm always surprised by how they deal with the reality. And Pankajangri, so I was really shocked. Usually, I'm never at a loss of words, but what? You have no doubt? Please explain. And he said, just think about this, Maharaj. We are few devotees in this world. Those who are in bhakti, most have Ram bhakti by percentage. You know, a few Vaishnavas. And we are still maybe immature. We are running, but we are running towards Krishna the best we can. We are maybe like little children who sometimes come in a group, you know, and then they quarrel. You said this! No! I didn't say this! Ah! You know, and we are like little children on our way and we quarrel and we do all, we have our own little stories to, you know, to go through. But what is Krishna's reaction? Isn't he at least like a parent who sees the children are running to me? You know, what does a parent do when the children run to him and they are dirty maybe and they are impossible, but they run to the father. The father and the mother obviously come and take care of the children and so on. So this is so natural. You know, when Krishna, Mother Yashoda was cleaning Krishna, and when Krishna was just perfectly clean, he jumped off the lap and he went to the dust of Vrindavan, which was moistened with the cow urine and cow dung. You know, it was a paste, Shri paste. And then Krishna threw himself in the mud and rolled in the mud, you know, and he came to his mother again, running to the mother. And Mother Yashoda is very nicely dressed, like a queen. Yashoda Rani, she is called, the Queen Yashoda. And of course, you know, Krishna was running towards his mother with his little feet, tick, 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 tick. A little voice, ma, ma, ma. Yashoda took him on the lap and said, can I wear you a pig in your last life? You know, because he was so dirty again. And then Krishna smiled, yes, Varahadev. Varaha ki jai. So now Krishna is doing such things. And, you know, and all mothers, from the original mother down. But I like this, when the children comes and they want, the children want something, they come. So Pankajangi said, Maharaj, don't you think that Krishna will also come to us, taking us? We only have to do two things. And then he became very serious. We have to offer our service to Krishna, and we have to learn to say no to Maya. Only these two things. Then I have no doubt that I will go back to go home, back to Godhead. And the way he said it, I mean, if you know Pankajangri and Janani Vas Prabhus, they are very, very wonderful devotees. Very advanced, very simple, very unassuming. You know, they are the oldest devotees, but they will sit at each lecture because Prabhupada said we should come to Bhagavatam lecture. And they hear to the young, hot brahmachari, you know, telling his hot brahmachari things. And, you know, they will be there and they will maybe rest a little because they're a little elderly now. But they are just such wonderful, simple-hearted Vaishnavas with so much faith. And when they say such thing, I have now also faith. And I've seen with many of our devotees at the time of death, or when they come close to this time, Krishna begins to enter their lives and make arrangements in a very wonderful way. So I wanted to give courage to you. Now let me summarize what I've said. I request all of you to kindly use your time very well as you are here. Please have good association amongst each other. Try to observe, come to the program. We have arranged a program which is not so super full that you die of stress, you know, festival stress. We have, I don't even know the program fully now, but I know of a morning lecture and something in the evening and so on. Please make this time all you can. You have Radha Madan Mohan, the most merciful deities, who are today dressed. I think you must have seen in presents, you know, the bells on the altar, because they want to give you presents, the deities. They look like Weihnachtsmann, you know, Christmas. They are serious in this. Our deities are very serious in blessing the devotees. So please stay at the lotus feet, be there for the kirtans, but otherwise have a very peaceful time. We really wanted to do this, except for the last night, the 31st, where we will have a very full program. You can rest in the day, but in the evening it will be yagya, a far-out yagya, then Krishna. Then we have invited one professor to come to tell us, you know, what transformation of the heart means from a very interesting perspective. You know, when can you really speak of a transformation of the heart has taken place? It's a very interesting lecture which he has given. I will give it together with him because I plan to work in such duos as a team with some academic people who are, of course, spiritual people. I mean, there's not material people. So, yes. And there will be a guided meditation. So that is what the program is. I will tell you tomorrow because now I don't know it in detail. So please give, this is our motto, where is Krishna? Okay, is this a good motto? It is alright? Shabnam, it is alright? Yo. Good. Shabnam has given the permission to use this title. Dobro. Now it's a little late. There will be ample time for questions and answers during the whole time. Also, I need only 1 or 2 hours to prepare my next journey, but the rest of the time I'm available to serve all of you. In other words, I will have time for you to, if you have any questions or any confidential discussions you want to do.